My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello there, all. Welcome to the EDP F1 pod. After a magic Monza and a lovely effort from Lewis Hamilton, my name is Michael Bailey, and we have our panel around the Arch and Towers table to discuss the goings-on at Monza. I think I should probably introduce them immediately. Perry Hamilton is here, erstwhile sidekick, the man about town.
Yeah, gallivanting.
Are you a man about town?
I've been gallivanting today, yeah. I've been a gadabout, I suppose.
A gadabout.
Be the best way to put it.
Gadabout,
yeah,
ped.
A cad and a bounder today, I
well,
think.
That sounds like it's worth another podcast
all on its own.
Yeah. You're well?
I'm very well indeed, actually. Yes, thank you very much.
Good
yourself?
Man. Yeah, we're not too bad. Thank you. Tired after watching Andy Murray.
But what a win.
History. What a year for great British sport 2012
Fantastic.
Has been. Maybe Lewis will add to it. We shall talk about that in a moment. Let's not get there for
yet. Yeah, but if you say that, he's not going to do it.
No,
this
is true.
What your predictions are like.
Kimmy. David Tillier, that's the voice. Did we just call you the voice? The voice. David Tillier, the voice.
I was waiting for a nickname. I've been yearning for a nickname.
David.
It beats sidekick.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry about that, Ben.
That's all right.
Are you well, David?
Yeah, I am today. I'm not too bad.
Good man. That's the editor of gridwalk.tv, of course, David Tillier. And Kyle Cumbers is with us. It's been a while, Kyle.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
I've rhymed that. That's good. Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's great to have you back in. Good to see you. So, Monza. Magic. Lewis Hamilton is sort of running the show in terms of the race. He had a pretty comfortable weekend. Pole position, easy job of it in qualifying, and we barely saw him during the race. A bit like Jensen, you must be said, 7 days earlier. But maybe Lewis is generating more headlines for his contract situation with McLaren and where he will be driving in 2013. Shall we start, first of all, with the race, David? It was a coast, wasn't it?
Was pretty much, yeah. There were some points towards the end where maybe we thought there might be a bit of a battle on for the lead, but ultimately for Hamilton at least, it was an easy race. I personally nearly got up and walked out at one point.
Which point?
Which was when JB's car broke down. And I had to,
as Jensen did, of course.
Yes, exactly. And then I thought, well, if I get up now, I won't be able to comment on the podcast. So I had to sit back down.
It's our fault.
And would JB want you to leave? That's the question you've got to ask yourself.
Probably
I don't
not.
Think he would. Jensen would want you to stick it out till the end.
The best thing is, if you did leave, you would have had to have waved.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant of Jensen. Yeah. I'm such a fan of his now, just the way he carries himself. And, he might be disappointed. He doesn't care. He's going to give the crowds what they want, which is a wave.
Exactly.
Top
so, but no, overall, yeah, it was a good Monza. I always enjoy Monza because there's a good opportunity for overtaking. Nice high speed track. It always sort of puts the cat amongst the pigeons, as it were. Sometimes. Anyway,
a lot.
It was a good race overall.
It was indeed. Lewis making tracks is. How's his championship challenge looking?
Feasible.
Feasible, I like that.
Is the best way to put it. He's not out of it yet. I mean, you've still got a haul of 175 points out there. That's if you win every race between now and the end of the season. He's not going to need all of those. He's, what, 37 points behind. I mean, that's a win and a bit with a little bit of good fortune going his way. But if you put that over the coming races, of which there are quite a few, I mean, we're going until, you know, end of November here, that really is doable. But against the quality of opponent that Alonso is, it's going to be a tough ask. It's not going to be a coast as this weekend was for him. He's really going to have to, you know, cut off the gloves and really go for it bare knuckle, if you will. Because those Ferraris are looking amazing. I mean, that is the majesty of Monza, isn't it? To see those scarlet Ferraris roaring down those straights, and when Alonso's on a charge in Monza in a Ferrari, I mean, that's goosebumps moment right there, isn't it?
We have to say, if Lewis is second in the championship at the moment, if he doesn't have a title challenge, that's effectively giving it to Alonso, isn't it? So at
least, you say that. who's sitting just behind Lewis Hamilton, 1 point behind Lewis Hamilton.
I don't think he's won a race.
Is Kimi Raikkonen. Kimi Raikkonen not won a race this year. Lewis Hamilton has won three. Now, what does that tell you about how important consistency has been this season? Now, we keep tipping Kimi to win. He's not won yet. He's still got that hunger. He's still got a chip on his shoulder. When hasn't Kimi got a chip on his shoulder? Got something to prove. And I think it all comes together. Kimi puts a couple of wins together. He could be a legitimate contender.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. Fernando Alonso's record, he finished third at Monza. I think he had a slight problem on his car after the little coming together with Vettel, which we will, of course, get on to. He just has this habit. I mean, I was going through his record since he joined Ferrari in 2010. I think he's failed to finish just barely two or three races. There's only then another two where he hasn't picked up points. He's barely been out of the top nine in the last however many. I mean, it's just a phenomenal, relentless record of picking up points, isn't it, Kyle? How likely is it he is not going to win this Drivers' Championship?
I think it's going to take a lot from somebody to overtake him. Like you say, his consistency is phenomenal. From, like I say, apart from last weekend in Spa, constant points finishes and good points finishes as well. Yeah, it's going to take something special. Also, because he's, well, Ferrari's a one man team as well.
Yeah.
Compared to Red Bull.
It's a fair point. Did you enjoy seeing Lewis do stuff? I mean, and Jensen the week before. I mean, McLaren have genuinely stepped up, haven't they, since,
yes, I mean,
since Silverstone, especially.
Yeah, three wins and three different tracks as well. So, Hungaroring, Spa, Monza, all sort of different tracks. So, it's looking good. I hear there's lots of updates. Singapore and the flyaway, so it could all change again, especially this season, to see anything. Oh, somebody's going to run away with the championship, as we thought, Red Bull in Valencia, and that soon changed around. So it could be Red Bull's turn next time around.
Could be. They will be hoping so after their weekend at Monza. I mean, Alonso probably the biggest winner, mainly because of Sebastian's Vettel's race, I suppose, in the end. Two issues here. Alternator failure for Vettel effectively ended his race late on when he was running. I can't remember where he was running, but it was in the reasonable points. Was it just about in the points? Sixth, fifth? Something like that. He was certainly going to get some points, and he ended up with no points. An alternator failure, which he'd also had, I think it was in free practice as well. And it's not the first time that the alternator has failed on the Renault engine. For Red Bull or another team. So there's an issue there, and also an issue where coming together with Alonso, much like they did at the pair did at Monza last year. Vettel was given a drive-through penalty for what could be deemed him running Alonso off the road. I thought that looked harsh to me, though.
What, the drive-through was harsh?
Yeah.
I've given up trying to figure out the stewards, in all honesty.
But they've got all this information we never see.
Well, they do, but at the same time, they deem it necessary to ban Romain Grosjean from one race for one fairly dangerous act that actually could have gone not as badly as it did. I mean, it's only an unfortunate run of circumstance that led to Alonso nearly being taken apart. And yet, a driver like Pastor Maldonado's yet to see any serious kind of, you know, discipline, other than, you know, smack on the wrist and a few fines here and there. So I've given up. But to me, you can always say, well, if he didn't want to go on the grass, he could have just got off the power. But at the same time, even if he'd got off the power, Vettel looked like he was squeezing him. I think it was the right call to make, personally. Harsh though it may have been, the rules are very clear. You know, even if you feel you've got the straight line speed, Alonso's got his nose there. He's coming up your inside. He's coming up there. You need on the outside to give him that little bit of space, or else you do force him out of the way. And that is obviously what happened. And that's what the stewards have given him the penalty for.
Yeah, we've also got to consider that the rules are slightly different this year. You know, the similar move was pulled, I think, last year at Monza, and I think it was actually Vettel that was on the receiving end of that. And he managed to make the pass stick and he got round, but effectively he was forced off. But the rules were different last year, so they have brought in this rule where, you know, if there is a significant part of the car alongside, then you have to, you know, the driver ahead has to give the space. as opposed to, you know, past history, you could close the door, you know, and really probably get away with it most of the time. So things have changed a little bit, which is why we're seeing these different penalties going around. But it is a bit confusing for the fans watching the sport that probably don't understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it can be a hard one to decipher. David, I want to touch on the Renault issues with the engines. I mean, we've been in an age for the last, I don't know if an age can last a year, but we've been in a period maybe where the reliability has been incredible. It's almost unusual to have a recurring problem on an engine like this.
Yeah, you've got to bear in mind that we are getting towards the end of the season, so things are going to start going pop. In Alonso's Ferrari went pop, and that's a very, very reliable unit, the Ferrari unit. So I don't think there's anything to read into too much on the engine side of things with Renault. Yes, they've had a few problems, but the mileages are starting to crank up now. And if you actually look at the roster of how they work out what engines go into what cars and what races, you know, they all have to do a hell of a lot of racing miles and testing miles before they then, you know, get boxed up and never used again. So it's understandable that you're going to get the odd problem. And those guys with the Red Bulls, they probably could have made it to the end of the race with at least probably with Webber.
Yeah.
But the easier thing was to give up, save the engine, and try and, you know, not damage too much.
Sure.
Live to fight another day, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It must be said, Webber was losing his rear tyres quite badly and ended up losing his car as well, and quite impressive flat spots, and could have painted a picture on the canvas left on his front wheels, by front tyres by the end of it. I did want to go back to Lewis. As I said, the contract situation where he will be driving in 2013 and beyond, a guy who has always been with McLaren, as far as I'm aware. He was probably born a McLaren driver, to be honest. I had a tweet from Jay Pippin. I think it's all a ruse, the situation with Lewis Hamilton. They could even sign him up and not say anything, thus holding up the rest of the moves around the grid. Of course, there might well be a few switches, and there's probably a few people waiting here and there for what happens. Where do we think Lewis will be?
I think JP might be on something. I think it is a ruse, but I don't think it's anything to do with McLaren. What you've got to remember is Lewis is now represented by some big name agents who aren't traditionally Formula One agents. They are sporting agents. I think they look after David Beckham and a few other sort of big name people. They will be trying to get as much money out of whoever it is as they can as possible. And by throwing rumours out into the media and throwing things out and about, they're probably thinking that they can bully McLaren into upping the amount of money, because we all know that McLaren don't want to pay the sort of money that Lewis wants to be paid. It's not that they can't afford it, but they don't think it's right in the current economic climate. I think it's the people behind Lewis are saying, this is what we're going to do, this is the best idea, let's do it. And Lewis is going, all right then. Yeah, and he's being pushed by them. That's what I see.
What I hear the offer that McLaren have put on the table is 100 million over 5 years. Now, you break that down, I assume there's not going to be any accumulators, or, I mean, there might be some performance related payments in there. I mean, I'm not a huge guy on contracts, but let's just say that even if you break that down, that works out 20 million a year over 5 years. But even if you break that down to 15 million a year. You know, okay, yes, you're in one of the most dangerous motorsports going because of the high speeds and the huge amounts of technology and the revenue that it brings in and how popular it is, but at the same time, isn't that a bit obscene of amount of money? I mean, is it or is it not? Or do we think
he could get by on 30 grand a year, let's be honest?
Don't most of us. I think I get by on half that. But yes, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It happens a lot sort of in the US and the American sports genre, but one of the things Kyle and I were just chatting about this before we came in, Lewis himself has dropped a nice little nugget into the media, which is that he wants to keep his trophies, because normally when a McLaren driver wins a trophy, it goes on display at the McLaren headquarters and they get a replica. He's saying that part of his contract, his sticking point, is he wants to keep the original trophies. Now, that's, you know, fair enough. There'll be people out there saying, well, that's a fair point. He won the race. He's allowed to keep it. Bear this in mind. McLaren offer him 100 million over 5 years. Mercedes come in offering $110 million over 5 years, and you can keep your trophies. Now, is he, on a matter of principle, going to say, well, actually, I'll stick with McLaren because I think they've got a better chance with... Or is he actually the kind of guy who'll go, well, I want my trophies and I want my money and that's what I'm going to go with? Or do you think he'll take that and go back to McLaren and say, all right, you know, this is what they've offered me. I know you want to keep me and I want to be here, but you've got to make it worth my while. How shrewd do we think Lewis is asking his management company to be? Because we all agree, I would assume, sitting around this table from conversations we've had, Mercedes are not as competitive as McLaren right now and probably won't be next year either. So it makes sense for Lewis Hamilton in the long run to stay with McLaren, but do you think that's where he'll end up when you look at what he could get elsewhere?
I think it depends on his priorities. Personally, exactly. I think exactly where he ends up will be an exact statement of what the next few years are about, whether they're about monetizing.
We can edit that out.
I think it's about monetizing. Whether it's about monetizing himself and is sort of the possible income he can make worldwide, or in all honesty, winning races. Would you reckon, Kyle?
Yeah, I think part of the reason probably wants $20 million is probably because Alonso and Vettel, I assume, want that sort of money. I think his ego, he thinks, well, I'm as good as them.
A racing driver with an ego.
Why can't I earn as much as them? So yeah, I mean, if he did move to Mercedes, you wouldn't know if it's a good move till a couple of years down the line. I mean, he could go there and they could win championships and they could build the whole team around him, and it could be the Schumacher Ferrari move sort of all over again. But I think he'll stay at McLaren. But like I say, I think it's at the moment it's sort of negotiations and leaking little stuff into the media to say, go on, McLaren. Sort yourself out.
With confidence, Kyle. Yeah. I like that.
There's only one sensible seat for Lewis to take elsewhere other than McLaren from a racing perspective, and that would be at Ferrari. But obviously, that's never going to happen because I'd imagine Alonso's probably got in his contract that he will never race with Hamilton again. Although they seem to be getting on quite well. There was quite a nice high five I noticed over the weekend. I think it was on the Sunday after the end of the race day. A little bit of a high five and
sort
of
laughing at each other on the podium as well.
Dude, I high five my milkman. High fives mean nothing in this day and age. It's all photo ops. So bear in mind, it could have been well that Santander got on the phone and said, look guys, you got to behave. You're representing us now. You know, there's common sponsorship.
I give away high fives too freely.
Hey, high fives are like currency to me. If I want an extra pint with a gold top, I'm giving out a high five, I tell you that much.
Okay then, in a bid to make this podcast maybe slightly more efficient in terms of timing circles, mirroring Formula One itself, this is the new section, EDP F1 Pit Stops. I'm just going to bring up some subjects quickly and talk about them, which probably means we won't do them justice, but let's worry about that later. Sergio Perez, second, a brilliant drive, not for the first time this season. I'm going to claim here and now that in my column last week I said that if Sauber got things right and were a bit luckier than they were at Spa, they could do something special. I think he did that, didn't he?
I think he did that very well. Exactly what you want to see from a young up-and-coming driver, and it only fueled the speculation that he'll be driving for Ferrari next year.
And he got asked the question and he was quite sort of, well, he didn't say no, did he?
No, he's been saying some really nice things about Sauber lately as well, which kind of leads you to believe that maybe he's either not counting his chickens and he's thinking, right, well, I might go to Ferrari, but I need to keep my current team, you know, happy with me, so I can't go off and keep saying, you know, other things about other teams and what have you. Or maybe he does actually really like it there. Maybe he wants to say, maybe he doesn't want to be in Alonso's shadow. And if he's a young racing driver with hopes and dreams and aspirations of achieving, you know, domination in this sport, or, you know, and doing really well, being number two to Alonso isn't going to allow him to get there. You'd have to wait in his shadow until he disappears, and obviously that worked really well for Massa, so you know, so I don't know, I think maybe he's better off staying where he is for another year and seeing what's about come 2014.
Agreed, Carl?
Yeah, I think he's proven himself to be a top driver now. Maybe he does deserve a top car. Maybe if Hamilton did move, I had a rumour sliding alongside Jenson Button next year.
Really?
But, yeah, he maybe, yeah, like I say, maybe another year at Sauber would do him good. And I say, I mean, people alongside Alonso haven't done too well recently. Maybe another year at Sauber would do him good.
Perez and McLaren, I'd love to see that. That would be brilliant. Okay, Massa. Fourth, wasn't he?
Solid drives from Massa at the moment.
Better?
Sorry?
Not better than that?
Not better than fourth?
Not better than solid?
No, you're not better than solid unless you're consistently on the podium, unfortunately. And this is Formula One these days. You know, it's a performance-driven sport, always has been. Massa is being dependable, but he is not performing to the level that Ferrari require. And that's quite simply it. So far, he's not done enough. I think with the few races that we've got left on the calendar, he won't do enough. And they will get in someone who will, you know, toe the line behind Alonso.
I think it's been a lot better from him in the last three races, but is it too little too late, Carl?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's doing what he should be doing, finishing third, fourth behind Alonso. But that's having it's too late. He's not getting any younger. Get a young driver in.
Chip him out.
Yeah.
And yeah. David's just turning up his nose and saying yes.
Pretty much, yeah. I think he should, you know, go off and do sports car racing now. I think he's not a hot, you know, it's not hot property in the F1 world anymore. He's done well with, you know, Ferrari. He had a really, really long career with them. So, you know, they need to start, you know, vacating these seats of these sort of also-ran drivers now to give them to new, young drivers so that we will have champions of the future. Because otherwise, if you keep it too static, then those future drivers are going to go elsewhere and we're not going to have the Alonsos and the Vettels and the other drivers coming along.
Quick straw poll then, who replaces Massa?
I'm going to go with Sergio Perez.
I was going to say Charles Pique again, just for comedy.
Really?
Value.
No.
Perez, most likely, I would have thought.
De Resta, I think.
Hülkenberg.
Okay, good stuff. This is going well, I like this. Kamui Kobayashi. It's his birthday on the 13th.
It is.
Happy birthday, Kamui.
We should have really researched how to say it in Japanese, but we didn't.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Kamui.
In Norfolk.
Can you dub it over?
Can we do? Yes. No. I'm going to do something terrible. No. Let's just stop. No. Happy birthday, Kamui. Kimi and Lotus. Kimi then just keeps racking up these points. Third in the drivers' standings, 1 point behind Lewis. Vettel's only a point then behind Kimi, and he hasn't won a race. Is he going to win a race? No, he's not.
But it'd be nice to see Kimi win on his comeback. Would be a bit of a fairy tale, as I'm sure a lot of the journalists would say.
David just wafted an arm at me. I'll make sure when the race goes in, fairy tales in the headline.
So I can't say anything after my Belgian Spartacular.
Yeah, I'm glad you repeated it. It's worth repeating.
That's why there's a line between professionals and amateurs, David.
Oh, Perry, harsh. Terribly harsh. Can Kimi win the title?
Yes. But much like Lewis, he has a very tall order ahead of him. He needs that car to put him on the podium and more, and even in first place, he needs to be on the top step. But I don't think we've seen everything the Lotus has to give us yet. And as we know, you know, McLaren are up and down at the moment. So, yes, it's doable, but he needs to get more out of himself and they need to get more out of the car.
And Lotus, of course, had Jerome D'Ambrosio in the other car after Romain Grosjean was sent to the Formula One sin bin. Don't know what the equivalent of that would be. Tyre pile.
F1 naughty step.
Yes, indeed. He had a bit of a difficult weekend, really, didn't he? But it'd be good to see Roman back at Singapore as well.
Yeah, just a bit of, hopefully he gets through the first lap.
Oh, God.
First corner,
that
I'd say.
First corner. Yeah.
Because he's quick. It's been good for him to have a good, consistent few races in. Maybe him to win the Grand Prix.
Will he win a Grand Prix before Kimi?
He's saying yes, Kyle.
I love it. Okay, and Jensen. We kind of mentioned Jensen, didn't he? Pulled the car over and waved. He had a fuel pickup issue when he was running. Was he running second at the
second,
time?
Second at
and
the
he
time,
was running strongly. So
yeah, and you know what? Jensen is well known for coming strong at the end of a race, more so than at the start of a race. So there's the potential that he may well have even gone on to, you know, challenge Hamilton for the win. They're in the same machinery. He's on good form at the moment, you know, so there is the potential that he could have done quite well there, but hey ho.
Interesting radio calls towards the end of the Grand Prix, if he was catching up.
Was he really?
Well, if he was, it could be some interesting.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Radio calls from McLaren.
Yes. This is the point. Does he is he now at the point where he has to defer? I don't think he will, but
JB's always said that once he's mathematically eliminated, he will do his best to help the team win the Constructors Championship, and if Lewis has a shot, then he'll give him a chance there. Since he's not mathematically eliminated, JB's come out and said that he wants to race. If he's leading a race and Lewis Hamilton second, he's going to go on to win that race. There's no team orders. The problem there that we've seen is Jenson Button's good at winning races when that car and the machinery around him is absolutely on point and perfect. He's seeing six in the championship. Do we actually see McLaren putting that much time and effort into getting his car perfect? At this point, if you have upgrades coming in and only one set of upgrades, you only have chance to install it on one car, you install it on Lewis's first because you want Lewis to have a chance.
But would you not say that the McLaren is currently the best car on the grid?
On the grid at the moment, yes, I would. But that's got no bearing on Jensen's ability within that car, because as you know, as a huge Jensen fans that we have sitting around this table, we know his strengths, we know his weaknesses, and at the moment, if the car doesn't perform, are McLaren going to really put the man hours into making it so that his car will perform, so that he can win some races and come in third or fourth in the championship, or are they going to commit that manpower to making sure that Lewis comes in first? I personally think it'd be the latter.
Completely different exhaust setup on the Mercedes at the Young Drivers test today, and double DRS that they're trialling to copy Lotus, or inspired by Lotus, however they decide to use it.
But weren't Lotus copying Mercedes in the
originally? They were with their half double DRS.
Yeah, it's all a bit confusing.
It is a bit, but obviously
they've quadruple DRS by the end of the season.
They're making big changes still, and I think that's going to go all the way through the season. Caterham, I wanted to mention the old Hingham backed Caterham boys and girls, 14th and 15th for Heikki Kovalainen and Vitaly Petrov, which wasn't too bad, obviously based primarily on a few retirements. The new team's coming home in formation at the back of the grid, and there's not really a lot changing there at the moment. That's one where I think later on in the season we will have a discussion about the new teams, because other than completing Grand Prix, it's difficult to see where that's going at the moment. And I think that's all of the EDP F1 pit stops. Brilliant. A quick touch on GP2. It was the penultimate round. A pair of podiums for Marcus Ericsson in the feature race and Julian Palmer in the sprint race on the Sunday for iSport. That means that the Carlton Road team are now fifth in the team standings. They are the best placed Norfolk side. Guido van der Garde is still the best placed driver. He's fifth, I think, in the Drivers' Championship, and he has a decent points cushion in that from the other Norfolk drivers. He was also second on the grid, but had a bit of a tricky time of it over the weekend for Caterham Racing. So iSport looking good to take the team honours, which I know are competitively fought out between those two teams. There is one more round of GP2 to come. That is at Singapore, which is also the next round of the Formula One World Championship. It takes place in 2 weeks' time. And I suppose we should sign off with some predictions, shouldn't we, gents? Red Bull had a double failure. They'll want something special, but McLaren seemed to be the car to beat. Who should we go to first? Kyle, you're roughly leading the predictions table, mainly because you've only had a couple of goes. So give us a couple of things that are definitely going to happen at Singapore, and don't get them both right.
Scary, man. I'll go Vettel win. I think he'll bounce back. Mm-hmm. So looking today, and he's only won one Grand Prix this year, which is a bit scary compared to the last few years.
Must be completely alien to him as well.
Yeah, sort of forgotten. Not forgotten, man, but yeah. Vettel... I'll go pole and victory.
Pole and victory, which seems to be the way of the season's worked, doesn't it? If you're on pole and you get away, you tend to be able to win a race, usually.
I don't know what else I can predict.
You go for another one. The more the merrier.
I'll go highest points finish for Caterham. Or sorry, highest finishing position.
Obviously,
so yeah.
I think I've coaxed that one out of you a bit, Kyle. I hope that happens. Obviously,
we've gone for controversy early.
Okay, yeah, we had. Well, when Ben Mounter did his only podcast, he said that Caterham were going to win their point, their first point. That didn't happen.
Well, David, there's still time yet.
There's still time.
I think it's probably going to be another Hamilton win.
Another?
Although I also think Sauber are probably going to do quite well again. I don't know why. I just have this feeling that both the Sauber drivers are going to be fairly racy at Singapore. I don't think Button will be anywhere near Hamilton, because I think this is more of a Hamilton track. You know, you can really sort of grasp it by the scruff of the neck and really sort of rag it around the track. I don't think the Red Bulls will be anywhere near the pace. Their car seems very slow at the moment. You know, when you are predicting that a Red Bull's not going to get into Q3, you know that they're well off the pace. So yeah, I'd say Hamilton for the victory, probably Hamilton for the pole if he's going to get the victory as well.
Do you think we're going to get a good race? Singapore doesn't tend to throw them up by memory, or am I being harsh?
It looks pretty though.
It does look good. Yes, it looks good. That can tire by the end of free practice though, that's what gets me. Perry,
I don't watch free practice, so
I'll
go through the whole
preserve
weekend
the excitement.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Alonso on pole. I think, you know, that Ferrari's dead quick and he wants to gain his lead. He sees it seeping away from him. And I'm going to go Kimi for the win, because I'm telling you, if Lotus want to mount a charge on that championship, they need to start now. And Kimi loves a good grab it by the scruff of the neck and rag it round track, as David has called it. And so I'm going to say Kimi's going to come through, may even get second on the grid in qualifying, take Alonso at the first corner. Alonso's been starting like a rocket ship lately, but that's what's going to happen.
So that leaves me. I think Roman is going to come back, dusted himself down. He's going to see out the first lap, and he's going to finish on the podium.
Yeah, but who's going to win?
Well, it's just a prediction.
I thought we were predicting wins here. That just makes your little plan of who's got the most predictions, right, even more convoluted.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I told you it's a complex system.
Well, in that case, Vern's going to come 16th.
Oh, come on.
Right, I'm writing that down.
We're making a note of all this. That will be a part of your prediction. I just wonder about the Mercedes. I wonder if this new exhaust is going to unlock a bit more performance for them. Michael Schumacher seems to be driving very well at the moment.
He's definitely the better of the two Mercedes drivers at the moment, I'd say, in terms of raw speed. But then again, they still don't have that performance that the Ferraris and the McLarens have. I think it's a two-horse race when it comes to the cars at the moment, and that's between McLaren and Ferrari.
So there's not really anything I can predict with Schumacher, is there? What could I predict with Schumacher? Second row?
That he'll race.
He'll turn up.
He'll be there.
And he'll qualify on the second row of the grid. There you go. That's exciting, isn't it?
I think he'll retire. I don't think Schumacher will finish the race.
What, in general?
Well,
he'll get to the end of Singapore and he'll retire.
And then I think at the end of the season he'll retire, but it'll be a case of did he jump or was he pushed?
Well, that would leave a seat at Mercedes, wouldn't it? And I think we're back where we started, pretty much.
Be a nice little landing spot for Perez.
Well, I think you might be right. We shall see. Right, okay, well, Singapore then in 2 weeks' time. You can follow all the Caterham and Lotus news on the EDP Formula One website, edp24.co.uk/F1. The podcast link is there. It's on iTunes. Have a look. Get in touch with us. The best way, as always, is on Twitter. I am at Michael J. Bailey. Perry?
I'm at PedHD56.
David?
At Gridwalk.
And Kyle?
At KCumbers.
And there we go. That is everything. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to you guys here on the panel for joining in and your superb thoughts, comments and insights. We will be back post Singapore. Cue the kazoos.